We're live. All right. Welcome, everyone, to week three of the Kabbalah Experience with Rav Draw. I want to welcome everyone here and thank our hostess, Cynthia Gomez, for donating her apartment to us for all 4 weeks. Next week is our last class of this session. The following Monday, February 25th, we're starting something with Aish, and Rav Draw's part of it, Rabbi Chaya Miller and Rabbi Adam Jacobs. So on the 25th, we invite everyone here, as well as everyone online watching. Look at the KabbalahExperience.com. Tickets are $20. It's going to be wine and cheese. It's going to be at the Triad Theater on 72nd Street on the Upper West Side. It's not going to be broadcast live because people are paying to go for that. Speaking of paying, this is also voluntary by Rob Draw. He does this for no pay. So we ask everyone here and online, please feel free to donate. It will come from your heart. If you get a lot out of it, you know, give as much as you feel as pushed. Again, thank you everybody for coming, and we'll see you next week and on Amen. February 25th, which is Monday nights. So thank you, Rav Draw.
Thank you so much. And we're very happy to be here. And I wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the difference between light and darkness, day and night. Usually we're using the word night and darkness let's start from the opposite side. Usually we're using the light and the day to express certain clarity, certain illumination, and the darkness, like it's immediately being heard and sound to our ears, will describe something that that lack of that quality of the light. Also in nature, we can see that that way of appearance, that when you block the source of light, so shade is being created, and the blocking of that light will create the darkness. It's a lack of light. But I gave that example a few times. During the day, when you take your eyes up to the sky, you see over there blue, bright blue sky, a little bit of clouds. Maximum you can see more than that is the sun. But at night, if you look, so you can see much, much more. In the night, when the light is not blinding you, so you can see the stars, means that you can catch such far distance much more than you can catch during the day. So there are souls, there are people that it will seem to our eyes that they are illuminated people, shiny, happy people. You see huge smiles on their faces, and they're glowing and they're happy, and you're going to see people that will look to you dark, and that you won't understand their behavior so well, and you won't understand exactly what they have in their minds, and they will look much more serious, and their face will be severe and might be even interpreted by your thoughts as maybe they're sad or depressed or angry or whatever. But in reality, those people are much deeper thinkers. They're thinking in a deeper way, and they might understand things that we're not even aware of. Now, again, not every broken and sad person is a wise one, and not every happy and shiny person is doing something wrong in his life, but we need to check ourselves and to understand what those concepts are and how it plays in our lives, because we're going through certain moments of darkness, of that we're going to define those moments as moments of darkness, and we're going to define them as moments of darkness, as hard hours, because we don't like them. Because we don't want them. We don't desire to be in that place. But in the end of the day, if we will check in like really deep into those life experience, into those moments, we're going to understand that we earned, that we gained much, much more from those hard times, from those hard hours, than from those excitements and happy hours that we had before. Now, we know that the Creator created the world in a certain way, and we know that there is much more that is hidden than what that is revealed. So for people like us that are asking for the secret, for people like us that are asking for the truth, we should know that the faith is in the nights, that the truth is in the nights, that the truth is hidden. Like the verse is saying, Ha'emet tiyeh ne'ederet, the truth will be hidden. But from the wise learners of Kabbalah, real righteous people that learned Kabbalah, they interpret, and I think it was the Ben Ish Chai that explained that verse, but I'm not sure, so don't catch me on that. Unless you don't have something more interesting to do, so you can catch me on that, I don't mind. And I think that the Ben Ish Chai said that the verse Ha'emet tihyeh ne'ederet, that the truth will be hidden, is being interpreted in a different way. That in the last generation, the truth will not be hidden, just that huge amounts of people will gather themselves together to seek for the truth. And by that way of interpretation, by that way of explaining this verse in that way, he allowed that righteous man that said it, allowed to teach Kabbalah to big, large groups of people in the last generation. The Arya Kadosh said that women completed their mission and fixed the things that were in their under their responsibility to fix already 500 years ago. The Arya Kadosh told us that. And the Arya Kadosh also said that in the last generation, the women that will come in reincarnation, in that lifetime of the last generation, will be the same souls that by their merit we've been redeemed from Egypt. And therefore, by the merit of righteous women that we've been redeemed in the past, we are about to be redeemed in the future to come. And now it's that future that came. We are now in that last generation. And we are walking now here between giants, between amazing people. Now, we explained on women, their amazing qualities that have been given to them, and those souls that came down to our generation are great and gigantic and amazing spirits and souls that came down to this world. But also on the men, like we opened and said about the darkness, even though that we, when we are looking at ourselves and checking ourselves, we can find ourselves so empty, like we're so lack of knowledge, of information, of holiness, of stability, of happiness, of joy, of wealth, of whatever you need, you look for it because you lack of it. That's why you ask for it. And still, in a certain way, we are able, and we're finding inside of ourselves, a strong desire for the truth that is very hard to explain, because the result of a sin that a person is committing is to sin again. When a person is sinning, so darkness is surrounding him, husks and coverings are blocking his awareness, his mind, And he is stopping from looking for ways how to fix. He stopping from desiring all good. Because that's the punishment, that's the judgment from heaven, that the sinners will be rejected. How they are being rejected? By the fact that the Creator is blocking their eyes from seeing the truth, and therefore they don't care about the truth anymore, and they're looking for things outside. They start looking on the world and asking for the world. They want to eat, they want to sleep, they want to whatever, and they desire external things. And that's the judgment that took place as a result of the sin. But we see ourselves in those days that we can fall and fail and crash, but it's waking us up to come closer to Hashem. And that's weird. And that's the real secret of the moon. That's the real secret of darkness. The darkness is not a real blocking of light. It's true that when you try to look to short distance, light will help you. But when you try to look further ahead, to long distance, beyond the sky, to places that are above your reach and your ability to hold and to grasp and to catch, over there the darkness is the most useful tool that's been given to us to see and to recognize the truth. And over there, the stars, those tiny sparks of light, are comforting and helping and illuminating the night in a way that we will find our way in the darkness. Now, a person that found the way in the darkness will be praised much more in a greater way than a person that found his way in the daytime. Like, what's the problem? You just like catch the right turn again and again. There are people you're going to ask, you can see. You're not going to fall because you can see. You're not going to mistake because you can recognize and you don't have no problems. But at darkness, you should enjoy the light of those small tiny points that are still shining even though you're in complete darkness and you're recognizing those small points inside of yourself. Those small things that you are able to do, even if those points are so tiny, like I ate breakfast today, I had a little chat with a friend of mine from 20 years ago, I like thank God I was able to wake up in the morning, brush my teeth and went to work, I wasn't late in more than half an hour today. Thank you, Hashem. You take those tiny sparks of success and they are shining your darkness, and by that you're achieving a certain greatness that does not belong to those ones that are walking in light. So those people that are experiencing this generation, men or women, and still seeking for the truth, and still desiring closeness to the Creator, asking for real answers to hard questions, dealing and confronting their fears, trying to get over bad habits, not giving up on hope, keep on praying, trying to be positive, even though that the despair is surrounding them and failures with no numbers and lacking with no end, and they're still pushing, those people are the real heroes that by their merit we are being redeemed in the present. In this time, in this moment. The fact that you recognize yourself as a person that is trapped in darkness does not mean that you failed. It might be that you are a source of light to the world in ways that you cannot imagine. It might be that while you're walking with your thoughts and you're struggling and you're looking for answers, the Creator is using your thoughts to save other people's life. I drove once with a friend on one of the highways in the middle of the night, coming back from New Jersey to Muncie, to the place that we're at right now. And we drove, and that friend asked me, what can we do with all the failures, with all the things that we lose, with all those sparks that we miss? So I explained to him something, and then I told him, did you got it? Did you understand it? All my explanation? He said, almost, like part of it. So I told him, all right, so let's say that there was one spark that you lost. Okay, I gave you a detailed explanation. One spark you lost. Now you're going to judge yourself for that lost, right? You're now going to hate yourself. Oh, I just got an answer, but I didn't catch it all. You're going to hate yourself, blame yourself, criticize yourself on that spark that you lost, right? But I'll tell you what just happened with that spark. We were 1 mile before, behind us, when that spark lost, right? Now, after us, immediately, there was another car driving. And you know what was lacking in their conversation? One tiny spark. And you lost that spark. But that spark never went lost. It jumped to the next car. Because you forgot it over there. You didn't catch it. It missed, fell between your fingers. But in that moment, someone else just caught it. And you don't know that. And he didn't never knew that it's from you. But Hashem, he knows. And that spark helped those couple that were in a horrible fight, in a horrible argument in their car, driving in the middle of the night from Jersey to New York, looking for salvation for their lives, about to lose their mind in their negativity and in their darkness. And suddenly a spark came into their car, a spark of positivity that you couldn't catch. But you know why you didn't catch it? Because it meant for them. And it meant for them and it came through you. Even if it hit you and fell, it was yours for a moment. And all those things that we lost, other people found. And those things belongs to us. Because when that couple now will find a way out from their sorrow, from their pain, from their loss, and they will be positive, they will go with that positive energy that they received to go into influence in a positive way on the world, and it will come back to you in ways that you cannot imagine and cannot understand, cannot even dream of. And even if you have wild dreams like mine, some things are so hidden. The Creator made the darkness for that purpose, that you won't understand how mysterious are His ways. How hidden and how deep He is going. You know, when Am Yisrael crossed the sea, they were able, the sea been opened for them in 12 lanes. There were walls of frozen water from their sides, from the right and from the left. Every tribe went what was walking in his own path. From the sides and from the ground, there were trees of fruits blooming and bringing out sweet fruits. Every person that was hungry was able to pick up fruits in the middle of the sea. It's a wonder, right? If they wanted to drink, suddenly there was like a faucet of sweet water, of juice, of whatever they desired, they wanted. Those miracles that took place in the first redemption, that Am Yisrael went into the ocean poor, naked, with nothing on their bodies, came out completely empty from Egypt, and came out from the sea with huge amounts of gold and good stones and diamonds that had been revealed to them while walking, while crossing the Red Sea. In dry land, the Creator brought treasures from the bottom of the ocean, from the bottom of the sea, and just hand it to that holy nation in that day because He wanted to reveal His greatness. Now, we all know that we don't have a clue what goes on in the ocean. We all know that we were able, with our biggest science, how do you call them?
Scientists.
To go into the depths of the sea. All the divers and all those people that are investigating, they couldn't find almost anything from what that's really hidden in the bottom of the ocean. What is hidden? What is hidden? Do you know what is hidden under your tiles in your house? Do you know? Do you have a clue what is buried and hidden in your sofa in your house? You don't have a clue. You don't have no understanding. And you also, like that physically, you don't know what is hidden in the wall. There was a righteous man that lived in Tel Aviv. And that person one time heard a knock on the door. He opened the door and he saw a beggar. A beggar came to ask for charity. And he told him 1 minute and closed the door and started crying. He started to cry because he knew that he doesn't have one shekel, one dime, one penny to give. That's why he was crying. And he looked at Hashem with his wet eyes and begged to Hashem, I don't have what to give. I want to give him and I don't have what to give. And he was leaning like that on the wall. And while he was crying to Hashem and crying and begging, please Hashem, suddenly he felt something in his hand. And he looked at his hand and he saw money. You know how that story been revealed? Because one day, another person, a friend of that hidden righteous man, came to visit him. And he saw that there was some stains and like the color was help?
Marred.
What?
Marred.
Changed. Marred? From the from wall. And he asked him, what's going on with your wall? Why is it different? So he told him, look, whatever, like something. And he told him, no, please tell me. And he pushed him and he like begged him to tell him. And he told him every time that I don't have money, so I'm going to that place and I'm begging to Hashem to help me with money. And I'm pulling money out of the wall. A student of mine asked me, was that wall connected to the other, in the other side, to the ATM of the bank? Or like, no. The answer is no. There was no ATM in those days. We're talking about at least 100 years ago. So in old Tel Aviv. Now, that person found that place. What was that place? It was that place that the Creator decided to reveal himself to him. I'll tell you another story. There was a real righteous man that was a helper of a yeshiva in Jerusalem, in old Jerusalem. And he was in charge to pay the rent for the yeshiva. And he didn't know what to do because every month they didn't have the money to pay 5,000 shekels every month for rent of that yeshiva. And he came to his rabbi and told him, Rav, I don't know what to do. I need to pay the rent. The rabbi told him, I'm sorry, I don't have money. So he told him, but what can I do? I don't want the landlord to kick us out of the facility, the house. We need to pay the rent. We must. So the rabbi told him, look, I don't know what to do. And lift his hands in the air. And he told him, but I'm stuck. Like, it's my job. I'm your helper. I must go and take care of it. And me for sure, I don't have money, but maybe you can help me. And then the rabbi hand 5,000 shekels to him and told him, here, take it. It will help you. And he went and took that money and went. And while he walked, suddenly he said, I saw the hands of the rabbi. I saw that his hands were empty. He didn't have no money. And when I asked him for money, he lifted his hands in the air. And he told me, I have no money. And then I asked him again. And suddenly he gave me the 5,000 shekels. And he came back to the rabbi and asked him, Harav, where did you give me the money from? So he said, I don't know. The rabbi answered to him, I don't know. There is a name of the Creator that name is Ein Sof Baruch Hu. Ein Sof Baruch Hu is the blessed infinity, endless. The meaning of Ein Sof, like I explained before, is explaining perfectly the meaning of what we just discussed. Ein Sof is an endless, is a concept that is expressing the infinity, the endless amounts of opportunities and options and bounty that the Creator can supply. No amount to His greatness and to the wealth that He can deliver to this world. But the concept is divided, built on two words, endless. And it's representing the opposite. End is something that stops, and less is something that you lack of. It's a lacking, you don't have it. And those two words together create no end to the amount of opportunities that are being opened for you. Where? In that place of humility. In that place that you understand that inside nature, inside the thickness of nature, inside the darkness of physicality, is hidden a great spirituality, an enormous amount of light that has been minimized in a way that will disappear from our eyes and therefore cannot be recognized by us. But the fact that we cannot recognize it or see it or understand it does not mean that it's not exist. And when you realize that your life are real life above nature and not under rules and limitations of nature, you start living life, spiritual life. In that moment, you are really being attached to the Creator and also to your potential. The house of Hashem names, one of his names is Beit HaBechira. Beit HaBechira is the house of the free choice. Over there, a person can choose. And who is that one that you're choosing to be close to? The Creator. The word Bechira means the free choice is also a word that can be divided to two. It holds inside of it the name Bechir. Bechir is that chosen one. And also the letter He that represents Hashem. So the chosen one means the person that has been chosen Hashem, that he is Bechir Hashem, that he is the chosen one. He is the one that is able to build Beit HaMikdash. Okay, so now everyone are saying, all right, Mashiach, Mashiach now. No, wait. Mashiach is a power of understanding that belongs to all of us. It's true. Mashiach will be a certain person that will come and shine the world with light of faith, with light of truth. And he will open our eyes. But open our eyes for what? To recognize the real godliness that is treasured in us. He won't be so rich that he will have money to give to us all. He won't be so wise to teach us all wisdom. He will open endless springs inside of us that we will find the treasures that are hidden in the ancient days from before creation, been given to us by our beloved Creator. You're going to understand your greatness. Understand your position. You're going to understand your role in life. You're going to understand your mission. You're going to understand how to work with your inner connection to the Creator. You're going to understand by the illumination that Mashiach will spread, by the fact that His light will be so huge, so simple, so understandable, you will start recognizing the light in your own darkness. Suddenly the light will shine from within. Think about that concept, light that shines from within. It's impossible. The body of the person is the darkest place in your world. What can you see with your eyes? Where can you hear? What can you hear? What can you smell? What can you taste? Only things that are outside. You cannot see anything inside. Your eyes are looking out. Your ears are hearing things that are coming from outside. You're tasting things that you bring from out in. All your senses are aimed and tuned to receive information from outside. But now the Creator is coming and tell you, you need to learn Pnimiyut. You need to connect yourself to the light from within. Within? I know there are bones, I know there is blood, I know there is darkness. Light cannot penetrate into those places. We are talking about the hidden light that is saved for the righteous ones. We're talking about the Or HaGanut. We're talking about the hidden light that been saved for those ones that will be to recognize it. Where? In the darkness. In the darkest hours, within, inside your flesh, between your bones, from that place that your soul is coming out to the world, from the place that your life are being revealed to the world, where you receive your ideas, when you feel your emotions, in a place that is above the place. In the heart that is not trapped in your physical heart, in your mind that is not trapped in your brain. In a spiritual dimension that is above the place and time and above physicality. And that place lives inside each and every one of us. But for that you need to be a warrior. to be a person that dares to go the night into the darkness and not afraid to lose whatever it takes to get there, to that illumination, to that real illumination, to sacrifice your lust, desires, all your comfort. And it doesn't mean that you now need to throw your shoes and to act stupid and to go barefoot in the streets of New York. No, that's not the mission. The mission is to ask the Creator, what do you want from me? Not how I am finding the right way to be spiritual. All right, I'm going to throw my money. I'm going to eat from the streets. Or I'm going to dedicate my life for learning Torah. I'm going to pray all day long. I'm going to fly to Rabbi Nachman of Breslev in Uma. I'm going to say Tikkun HaKlali 10 times a day. I'm going to dip in the mikveh 613 times. I'm going to... All those emanations are the fruit of sick people that don't have no understanding of the truth. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to fly to Uman. I'm not saying that it's wrong to learn Torah or to go to the mikveh, and not even 613 times if you're willing to. But there is no one method that suits us all. Like that our faces are different and our fingerprints are different, our wisdom and knowledge and qualities are different. And like that, if all of us going to receive order to find our way and to get to one central point in Jerusalem, the temple, the house of Hashem, our journeys to that same point will be 100% different because we are coming from different locations. So our ways will be different. Even if you're driving on the same lane as I, you are driving it's behind me and it makes your journey different. Even if you sit with me in the same car, you're in the next seat to mine. Even if you're going to sit on my leg while we're driving, our journey will be completely different. I'm going to have you sitting on my lap. It won't be the same like you enjoying my belly, right, as a pillow. I won't enjoy the ride like you. In reality, our journey will be different. Why they will be different? Because we are different people. Therefore, we need to find our own way. We need to understand which path we should walk. And even though that the Torah is revealing and commanding and that you have books of explanations and rules of halakha and customs and minhagim and Ashkenazi and Sfaradi and you can decide to learn from that book, every person must go through two kinds of illuminations. Illumination comes from the outside, from the external world. Those are the dark letters of the Torah. That you are receiving the black fire that is limiting, that is constricting the light into measures, into shapes. Like the food that you're eating, that you must eat to stay alive. Like the knowledge that you purchase while you open books and you're hearing classes or you're seeing them on YouTube. If you go to lectures, if you talk to people, all information that is external, that comes from outside, is one aspect of the light that is needed for you. The other one is an inner one, is that white fire that is, when you look at it, doesn't hold anything, contain anything. Look at the white page of the book. Here's a book. You open that book. If you look at that book, if you're able to understand something from that book, anything from that book, it's going to be from the dark letters. Between the lines, I'm asking you, what does it say between the lines? Can you see what's written above the name of the chapter, under where the chapter finished, the last line, under it, what's written? Blank. You can't recognize it. Why? It doesn't have a shape. But this is the white fire. That white fire, there is only one way to receive it, not in an external way. You can never receive it from the book. It not belongs outside. It's an inner fire. This is the fire that you can understand only when you listen to your own thoughts. Only when you're connecting yourself to your inner light, you can receive that light. That light will come to your awareness from within in the language that you speak. You don't need to learn ancient Hebrew for that. You don't need to learn Torah for that. You don't need to hang out with the for that. You don't need to spend your life in yeshiva for that. You don't need to go to the mikveh for that. What you do need, you need to seek for the good. You need to want to connect yourself to the Creator, to the one who created you, because He created you from within. Like we explained in the last time we spoke about the way the Creator created the world, that all the infinity that was here before was a sea of light. And the Creator wanted to reveal the world, so He found the central point, spot in that infinity, in the endless, and moved Himself to the sides. And then He sent a beam of light into the center of that empty space. And from the center of that place, He started to build the worlds. He created the worlds from within. He built them one layer after the next. Means that the light that been sent from infinity been hidden inside the worlds, inside physicality. For you really to grab it, to catch it, to understand it, you need to break nature for it. To go into yourself. That's what Hashem commanded Abraham and told him, Lech Lecha, you need to go and find yourself. Even after 60, 80 years of serving the Creator and being righteous and pure and ready to sacrifice himself, throwing himself into the fire, fighting against everyone, not being scared from no one, teaching thousands of people, writing hundreds of books, even though that he achieved so much, the Creator told him in one moment, all right, now it's the time to go and find yourself. All right, you found me, you find amazing things, you taught people, you illuminated the world, but you still don't understand who you are. You still don't understand. And then he commanded him, go to the unknown. Go to that land that I'm going to show you. All right, east, west, where should I go? Go, go. You should count on me. Where are you, Hashem? Hashem is hidden. Bamistarim, in the hidden places. What's going on in the hidden places? Bamistarim tivke nafshi. The spirit of the Creator is crying in that hidden place. Because of what? Mipnegeva. Because of the arrogance of people that are not able to recognize the godliness that is hidden inside of them. Why? Because they care what other people that are external to them, that are outside of them, what the outside will think about them. Because afraid what they're going to think about your haircut, about the way you dress, about the way you talk, about how you look, how much money you have, which house you have, which car you drive. Because you care about that and your focus, your mind is outside, you cannot see what is treasured within. So if you want to find what is treasured within, you must want it. And therefore the Creator is commanding us to look for Him with all of our hearts. Even with our evil inclination, with our good inclination. You need to love Hashem and to seek for Him inside, b'chol levavcha, with all your heart. And to ask for Him, ulevakesh oto b'chol levavcha, and to ask for Him with all your heart means that you need to get into your heart. You need to recognize your heart, not your physical flesh heart. You need to find your inner desire to recognize who you are, to recognize that righteous person that you are, to recognize that godly soul that you are, to recognize the warrior that you are, to recognize the person of grace that you are, that kindness that shines from within, the desire to sacrifice for the benefit of others. You need to recognize those qualities inside of yourselves, or else you won't be that one that you're able to be. You will not shine that light from within because you're not aware of it, because your awareness is outside. And the awareness can be outside even if you wake up before of dawn and sitting and learning Torah all day after a mikveh and praying in Yan, in a synagogue, and wearing tefillin, Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, and doing everything by the book, as long as your mind is seeking for the not only from an outside source, you still live in darkness. But when you will decide to go into your own darkness and to break the code from within, to recognize, who am I when my wife kicks me out of the house? Who am I when the kids are climbing walls? Who am I when I have my lust and my desire? Who am I when I want to break my life to pieces and jump from the window? Who am I in those dark hours, freaking out, losing my mind? Who am I over there? Why am I losing my mind? Why I cannot be rebuked? I cannot talk about those issues. I'm so scared and terrified to discuss those topics. Why I cannot cross the street right now? Why I won't go and buy that suit that I wanted? Why am I so terrified and paralyzed in those moments of my life? Why am I so scared to admit the truth? Why I cannot be honest? Why I cannot be humble? Why I rather to lose so many things in my life or my selfishness, for my laziness? Why am I being cruel to the ones that I love? Those dark questions are the secret of your existence. When you're going to confront your fears, you're going to break the code. You know what you're going to achieve in that moment? Closeness to the Creator. You're going to find the inner light. You're going to understand who you are. When you're going to confront your fears and you're going to recognize them, they won't be able to attack you anymore. They won't have no effect on you. You won't be under their power. They won't be able to hurt you in any way anymore. You will be free because you confronted them. The way of the evil inclination is to chase the person, to make him terrified, lost, like animals in the savannah. The predators, what they're doing, they're coming from directions. What they're doing, separating one animal from the herd, makes it crazy to run like a lunatic. And then it's an easy prey. Why? Because he lost his mind. He's not part of the group anymore. He's alone. He's terrified. He's not thinking. The success of the evil inclination comes only when you are falling under the pressure of those fears. But when you decide, listen, I'm not going nowhere. You want to fight with me? All right, here I am. What do you want to offer? What do you want to say? All right, you want to tell me I'm filthy? Yeah, I know I'm filthy. And now what? I want to tell you, you're not going to have a share in the world to come. All right, we agree on that. I don't have a share in the world to come. And now what? I still want a morning. Is that okay? Yes, it's okay. So now I'm free. I can calmly. As long as you care if you will have a share in the world or not, why to pray? If you want to have a share in the world to come, if you want to be called righteous, if you want to be pure, I'm telling you, you're still stuck in that imaginary aspect of your foreign life, of weird life, of being disconnected from reality. In reality, when you connect yourself to it, no one can judge you. You're a portion of heaven from above. You are the messenger of the Creator in the world. You're the one to judge the world, not the world to judge you. You're the one to illuminate the world with the light of faith, not the world to feed you with knowledge. You can find sinners spring inside of you and to go and water the herds because you found the sin. You can go and talk to people and save people's lives. You can dedicate your life to the light and to be the knight of the light. You can go and save people's life. You can redeem the world with the power of your prayer. Just by connecting yourself to the inner source of power that is built inside of you. The problem is we're not recognizing it. Our self-esteem is so broken, we let people brainwash us with negativity, with foreign thoughts, with descriptions of our being, with interpretations, explaining us what our mission is and what our role is supposed to be and what is the real success and what really we should do and why we're not like this and where we are wrong and what are our mistakes. All those nonsense that we've been fed with for thousands of years, not only your parents, not only your teachers and your friends, we are talking about thousands of years of negative way of thinking from the moment that Adam and Eve been kicked out of heaven, they went with their face down on the ground, sad and broken and depressed, and their children started killing each other and fighting with each other, and lust and desires came up to the surface, and people lost connection. And with the generation, the darkness is increasing. But those ones that are still surviving, that are still desiring the truth, are being revealed as the heroes of the universe. Because how can you swim for thousands of years with no light, with no battery, with no charging source, with no power, and you're swimming? You're swimming without learning, you're swimming without praying, you're swimming while you're impure, and you keep on swimming, and you're desiring good, and you're working on midot attributes, and you try to be the nicest person in the world, and when you're being rebuked, you learn the lesson, and you rather to work on yourself and to improve, and by that you're revealing your greatness. You're revealing the glory that is your crown from 6 days of Bereshit, that the Creator sent you to your destiny to be the one to rule the world, to be that one to reveal the kingship of heaven by establishing kingship on earth, kingship of good, kingship of godly people, of loyal people, of honest people that are representing their Creator, that are admiring an invisible Creator, someone you cannot idolize, someone that you cannot worship, someone that you can just be aware to his existence. How? From within. No evident in nature, not falls and not the highest mountains will bring a clear evidence to a person that doesn't want to believe. He will see that view and will say, all right, inspiring, can we buy some burgers? Like, all right, been there, done that, marked V. Move on, he doesn't care, he will see the pyramids in Egypt. It won't remind him, it won't wake him up. He can see, all right, that's the Western Wall. On that, everyone are talking, all right, let's go take a pizza, let's go grab a bite. Like, I heard there is a pizza Yerushalayim here in the old city. All right, nonsense. A person can be so blind that while he's dipping in Har HaShiloach, in the holiest water in the world, he will think about money. He will think about what people think about him while he's dipping in the mikveh. Like, you have the opportunity of your life and you're thinking about those people that are outside of the mikveh, what they're thinking about you right now. Crazy! Crazy, all right? So, solution. What's the solution? To go against the stream. Dead fish are swimming down the river. Live fish are swimming against the stream. You want to find yourself? You need to break all the codes. You need to open a war against the evil inclination. Not to wait for him to attack you. You need to attack him. Before the war will come to your house, you need to attack your enemies. Your enemies are your bad attributes. Your enemies are your sadness, your anger, your negativity, your laziness. Those are your enemies. The enemies that are attacking you, those ones that are providing the evidence for you to have a low self-esteem, those are your enemies. With them you need to fight. With everyone that is downgrading you in your mind, in your eyes, you need to. With every aspect of physical darkness that blocking you from achieving your inner illumination, you need to fight to confront your fears. Your enemies are not people. Her, him, they, they're not your enemies. They are puppets in the Muppets show. They're only clowns with teeth, boxes with eyes and ears that are pretending to have some kinds of aspect of reality. You know what they are? All people are only reflecting godliness. When you're going to accept on yourself the true yoke of heaven, those people will be one with you. You will all become one unit to serve the Creator together. You will become one with the world, and the world will become one with you. The animals will all serve the man, and the man will take care of them. All human race will be so divine and godly that will rise above physicality, about all gravitation and limitations of material. We will be able to climb above this world to dimensions of beyond. And that reward will be only the reward for those ones that looked for the real secret, for the essence, for the purpose of their creation. It's an inner answer. It's an inner salvation. It's an individual redemption of a unit, of a personality. Ignore your lackings. Don't let them affect you to break your self-esteem. Try to realize who you are, that you have been created in the shape of heaven, that the godly Creator decided to build you and design you in His spirit, in His shape, in His form, and He's above form. It means that you are above form. It means that you are above shape. It means that you are an endless creation that is above time, that you are completely open and able to achieve it all. Like that Am Yisrael were standing and they were seeing the voices. They could hear two things in the same time. They were able, the Creator opened the sky, the physical sky, and shown them the real will of heaven, how this system works, how the godliness runs the world from within, from inside, from a place that is above place, from a place that is not located in creation, in a spiritual way, and shown to us who we really are and how we fit to that large, big, complete picture. And we found ourselves back then, and we can find ourselves even more now, in the present time, just by meditating. Just by focusing into the mind, closing the physical eyes and looking and working with the eyes of our minds, working to recognize our godliness, finding the real reason to rise our self-esteem, to understand how great and godly we are, no matter how we dressed and with what we are covered. If you're a man or a woman, if you're tall or short, skinny or fat, whatever, from which nation even, it's not important. You don't know who you are. The holy tribes of Israel, the children of Moses, the children of Abraham, they're all foreign nations to the nation of Israel today. Today the nation of Israel is being recognized only by the Jewish people, right? The Jewish people, few Levites, few from the tribe of Benjamin, some people from Gad. That's what you have. Where are all the tribes? More than 10 tribes are lost in the exile. Where are they? In the darkness. Their greatness never lost their place. Never lost. The Creator never lost track from each and every single one of His children, the children of Jacob and his four wives. The children of Moses went back to the camp of Jethro with his wife Zipporah, with their mother Zipporah, and they were not part of Am Yisrael when Am Yisrael inherited the Holy Land. They stayed outside in the desert of Sinai, and they're still out there somewhere. All the children of Moses. You think the Creator forgot about them? Because we are selfish Jewish, pretending to hold the crown. We don't know anything about the secret of creation. The Creator sees it all. If a drop of water into the center of the ocean 6,000 years ago, and it's expanding with no end for 6,000 years, going into the rivers, people drink it in cups. The Creator knows exactly how to bring it back if He wants to. The Creator can find this drop of water that fell into the ocean 6,000 years ago. He knows how to collect it. Something that we cannot even understand. The Creator is able to do that. And also with the holy souls, that's obvious, it's simple. And that's the secret of redemption. That's exactly what it will happen. We think today, oh, I'm so tiny, oh, I'm so small, oh, I'm so weak, oh, I'm so poor. I have so many enemies. The darkness is so hard, it's so dark, it's so thick. It's surrounding me, I have so many enemies. You don't know. You are surrounded with billions of angels that are serving you day and night, providing all your needs, building the future for a complete redemption that is beyond the power of understanding. How soldiers are standing outside your house and protecting you without you even knowing and recognizing it. And we're talking about hidden angels and about uncovered angels that looks like people, that looks like cars, that look like buildings. You don't know what those buildings are doing. You don't know how they're protecting you spiritually and physically. You don't have a clue what goes on in this creation. Why? Because you look outside. Because you look with your physical eyes. Close them for a second and look deep into your mind, and there you'll find Hashem. There you'll find God. There you'll find your destiny. For the person needs to want it with all his heart to throw the burgers, to throw the Jewish Jerusalem kegel, to throw the nonsense, to throw all the things that he's leaning on. Oh, I'm learning. Oh, I'm davening. Oh, I'm praying. No, I'm but that's it. See it from the Holy Land of Israel. You're nonsense. If you're not honest, you're not worthy. If you're not righteous, you're nothing. If you're not working on your midot, on your behaviors, on your manners, if you're not kind, if you're not nice, if you're not polite, who are you? You don't have no existence in the world. If you're not ready to take the rebuke and to learn the lesson and to take responsibility on your failures, who are you? A thief? A liar, a coward. Who are you? As long as you're afraid to admit the truth that you messed up big time, that you ate from the tree of knowledge, that you waste your seed, that you failed and lied and sinned and stolen and murdered and killed. You're able as a person to say, I messed up. So you're not representing a person of truth. You are a liar that choose to stay a liar and to keep on hiding his identity and cannot understand the greatness of the kindness and the grace of the Creator that is waiting for us to do only one thing, and it's tshuva, to come back to Him. Just to come back. Just to say, I messed up. What can I do? I failed. I went after my eyes. I went after my nose, I went after my mouth, after my hands, after my ears. I lost track. I decided to choose the external world instead of choosing the light. But the Creator is so merciful and kind that He also not only created the inner light, the white, bright fire that shines within, He also created the dark fire to remind you through books, through inspiring speakers, through situations in life, that you should look inside. But as long as you're still learning from an external source and you're not deciding to take that staff of free choice in your hand and to choose life, source of life, inner connection to the Creator, all millions of books in the world, thousands and hundreds of thousands of synagogues won't redeem you from your own darkness. only in the moment that you will want Hashem and going to call Him with truth from the bottom of your heart, then you will be saved. Thank you very much. Chazak u Baruch.